Good morning. It's good to see you. This morning, we're going to be looking at the subject of settlers and searchers. If you could pop the first PowerPoint slide up for me, please, Julie. Just gives us the title for that. Is that coming through all right on the mic? Yeah, good. Settlers and seekers. Searchers, I said. Seekers. I know what I'm preaching about. one verse to start off with. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. No, you don't need to move on yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Okay. It says, "And we all who, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Just pop it on to black. That'll take care of it, hopefully. Okay. The Message version of that says this: "And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him." Or the English Standard Version renders it this way, very similar to the King James, the New King James. It says, "And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." In each rendering, the meaning is obviously the same, in slightly different words. The idea is that God is at work in us, and he's making a difference. He's making a change. And it's a change for the better. Yeah? The NIV translates it as ever increasing. You know, I've got this idea when I read that verse of going up a staircase. You know, each step is higher. Esther has now progressed to climbing stairs. She loves going upstairs. She wants to go up. She wants to go on. She wants to go higher because it's interesting. Yeah? It's new, it's different, it's something we can do. And that's the idea that he's trying to sort of get across here. The Message version says, gradually becoming brighter. Have you got any of those dimmer light bulbs, light switches in your home? Yeah? No? If you're in there at night and everything's sort of subdued and down, you turn it down. But when you want to see something, you wind it up. God is, if you like, winding us up, making us brighter, working upon us, helping us to shine in a brighter way, a better way, a different way. Or as the English Standard Version, Modern King James, and the King James puts it, one degree of glory to another. It sounds good. We've got development. We've got change. We've got transformation. And it says aiming to be like Christ. One problem could be is that it requires change. You know, to go from the bottom step to the top step, you have to change your position. To grow from that sort of dim glow to that burning bright light, it has to change. It has to grow. It has to develop. That change is something that God wants to work in each one of us. It's a change that he wants to work in, through, and out of us. Now, there's no doubt that the rate of change can change. All right? Change is constant, and the rate of change changes. You know, when we first become Christians, everything's new. Everything's brand new. Everything's different. There's so much to see. There's so much to learn. And you might be surprised by, oh, there's this and there's that, and oh, I never thought about that. And, wow, look at this. And, you know, when you see somebody saved, it can be so much of an invigoration for the people who are there and think, yeah, it is good. It is new. I've sort of got used to it, but they're seeing it for the first time. And yeah, we can get used to it. But it is new. It is brilliant. But as we go on, that rate of change changes. It's not as fast, but it's still there. The rate of change of children in their early year is incredible. It's phenomenal. But it slows. But there is still change. Even in adult life, you are changing. You are developing. You are growing. It might not be a huge change. Somebody once said to me, if you don't love Jesus more often or better than you did yesterday, there's something wrong. Well, can you actually measure it in a day? Could you measure it in a week? Once you've been saved for a long time, the change can be very gradual. But it doesn't mean to say it's not happening. And you might not be able to turn around and say, oh yeah, it was at such and such a level yesterday, whereas today it's at this level. There will be a development, there will be a change, there will be an ongoing thing. Most of us, I'm sure, can ride a bike. Yeah? How many of us can ride a bike at very slow speed? You know, when you go for your motorbike test, a part of the test is actually to ride slowly. They want to make sure that you've got control of the thing. Because you see, it gets very hard as you go slower. There needs to be that forward momentum to help. And there needs to be a forward momentum with us too. In our Christian walk, we need to keep going on. Okay, could you try and put the second slide on for us, please, Julie? Take the black off. Okay, early settlers in America. You've seen the westerns, you've seen the cowboys, you know all about the wagon trails and everything else. Well, probably the way it's sort of brought across on the screens is totally rubbish, and it wasn't like that at all. But after the American War of Independence and in the early 1800s, people travelled from the west to the east. There were established places in the east because that's where we sort of landed first of all, and you know, we sort of developed it and took over from the Native Indians. And then, as I say, after the independence and in the early 1800s, 1810, 20, 30, 40, certainly before the war, the Civil War, people started migrating across to the west. They were looking for new places. They were looking for new life. With those people, there was a real spirit of adventure because they were going really, totally into the unknown. It was risky. They were travelling in basic wagons, trying to carry everything that they think they're going to need when they got to where they didn't know where they were going and they didn't know what it was going to be like. That takes a little bit of adventurous spirit to do that. They travelled across widely different terrain. Flats, deserts, mountains, mountain passes. They had different conditions, from baking heat to freezing snow. They pushed forward. But then they found somewhere that they liked. They found somewhere that looked good. They found somewhere that they thought, this is what I've been looking for. And they settled. They built homes. They built towns. They thrived. Things developed. Things grew. And the settlers became part of the landscape. I'd like to read you a few verses from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he later received as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Almost sounds like one of the early settlers, doesn't it? He set out to somewhere where he didn't know where he was going. He set out to somewhere that, what's it going to be like? What am I going to find there? But he went, a journey of faith. But there's a difference. In that passage we looked at, it said he made his home. That actually, parakeo, means to reside as a foreigner or a stranger. So even though he was there, he was still a foreigner. He treated it as a foreign country, not his own, belonging to others. And he lived in tents. The settlers lived in tents. But they got to a place and they stopped. Abraham didn't stop. Throughout his life, he wandered around in that land. When we talk about home, we think of somewhere established. We think of somewhere safe. We think of somewhere comfortable. We think of somewhere settled. And we're not moving on. Abraham's home was different. He didn't really belong there. He was like a stranger in the place. Someone of no fixed abode. He kept moving and he didn't settle. He got on with those who were in the land, but he didn't become part of them. He was among them, but he didn't belong with them. Could you pop the next slide on, please, Julie? The searchers, the seekers. The settler doesn't necessarily have an easy life. It's not necessarily comfortable, but it's certainly easier than being a wanderer. And it's more comfortable in the sense that you know where things are, you know where things are at, and you get into a way. But someone who's seeking, someone who's searching, is someone who is on the move, like Abraham. Not totally at home. Not quite fitting completely. It can be very inspiring. It can also be very tiring. It can be unknown. A few years ago, somebody from America made the statement when they were talking about various things, and he says, well, things are unknown. He says, but there are different kinds of unknowns. He says, first of all, you have knowns, things you know about. He says, there are known unknowns and there are unknown unknowns. And everybody's saying, what's he talking about? Well, obviously, there are things that you know. But there are things that you know that you don't know. Yeah? You know that you don't know them. But there are things that you don't know that you don't know. I've taken the switch gear apart on a motorcycle handlebar, okay? On those, there's quite a bit of, you know, switches, quite a few switches there. You can have your horn, you can have your headlight flasher, you can have your starter. Basically, all the controls that are on the car are on the switch gear on the bike. And if you've ever done that, like me, then sometimes it can be a nightmare. Because, you know, it's an unknown unknown. And as you prise it apart, the springs, ball bearings, and bits of copper go shooting all over the place. And if you'd have known, then you wouldn't have taken it apart like that. That was because that was an unknown unknown. And unknown unknowns can catch you out big style. Because you don't know what's coming. It's unpredictable. And what Abraham was stepping into was an unknown unknown. He didn't even know what he didn't know. He left things behind. He was constantly learning new things, new challenges, different ways, different groups of people. Well, you're related to those people in this way. What are these people going to be like? New challenges. Can you actually meet the challenges that are coming? The settlers, the seekers, carry on, and there is no end. Why on earth do they want to keep going? Because there's something driving. They know that there's something better. There's a degree of satisfaction, but there's a degree of dissatisfaction. It's good, but you know inside, there's actually more to come. Abraham was wanting something more. Abraham was seeking. Abraham was searching. And it tells us in Hebrews, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Maybe he didn't know what it would look like. In all probability, he didn't know what it would look like. And in some ways, he didn't really know what he was looking for. But have you heard people say, I'll know it when I see it? And that's how he was. Because Abraham wanted God, and nothing else will do. So the question this morning is, are you a settler or are you a seeker, a searcher? It can be easier when we're younger in the faith, but it's not necessarily age related. It's comfort related. We can start well, seeking new things, enjoying the new things, delighting in the new things, but we come distracted with what we've got, and we become satisfied with what we've got. How can we tell? How do we know? Well, if you are really comfortable in your present situation, you could be a settler. If everything that you've got, you know about, you know where you are, you could be a settler. If you're very happy where you're at, you could be a settler. If you've got a usual routine and you don't need to change, you could be a settler. A settler quite often can have lost the sense of adventure. A settler can sometimes feel it's the same old, here we go again. Perhaps even bored. Perhaps a sense of, is this all there is? But along with the lack of adventure, there's also the lack of risk. And sometimes our prayers will become, round we go again. Because there's nothing different. There's nothing additional that we need. There's not a sense of, look God, if you don't deliver on this, we've had it. But God wants seekers. God wants searchers. Israel was formed as a nation because of what God did for them. He intervened in astounding ways. There was the liberation from Egypt. And God demonstrated his absolutely astounding power as he took them out of there. The parting of the Red Sea. No one had ever seen anything like this before, but God did it for his people. And as we read through the Psalms, we see the psalmist referring back to it hundreds of years later, because this was one awesome event that happened. But there's a problem. The problem is this. We can get so wrapped up in what God has done, we stay there. Isaiah 43:16-19 says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together. They lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. He's not saying disregard it. He's not saying abandon it. He's saying don't let that be the defining moment from which you never move forward from. Incredible things can cause us to live in the past. I want to read you a few verses from Mark. Mark chapter 6, verse 2-6 says this. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before him Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he didn't know what to say, because they were so frightened. I want you to use your imagination now. Peter comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He's seen something absolutely astounding. He's actually seen Moses. He's actually seen one like Elijah. Incredible. Stunning. So what he does is he goes to a little town in Nazareth. He settles down in his home there and he tells everybody that's happened. He tells them about this astounding thing that's gone on. That he's actually seen Moses. And you know, there's no end of people that want to come and listen to him. To hear about this amazing thing that's gone on. And he tells them in great detail how Jesus was transformed and transfigured. and how he's seen these people, how he's heard God physically speak. He lives there, the crowds come, and then eventually maybe the crowds die down over the years. Then eventually, when there's no more people coming, he settles down, and eventually he just passes away in that little house that he's built for himself and enjoyed. But that didn't happen. Didn't work like that. You see, if he had gone to that little house, what about the day of Pentecost? When Peter spoke and thousands were brought to the Lord. What about the time when God spoke to him and said, go to a Gentile and give them the good news? Among many other things, he would never have seen those things happen. Other people would have stood there in his place if he had settled for what he had. Peter did not become a settler. Peter was a seeker. And God wants to step into our lives too and say, there is more. As we say, you ain't seen nothing yet. God is unchanging, and the God of the incredible, the God of the amazing, the God of the awesome is still the God of the incredible, the awesome, the amazing. Do we limit God? Do we say to God, well, you've done absolutely stupendous things, God, but I don't think you can top that? Or do we grasp him, and as we've been singing, be the wind in these sails? Philippians 3, 12 to 14 says this, Paul writing, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. This was written by a man who was in prison. This was written by a man whose liberty was severely curtailed. Yet he wants to go on. And he's saying, God, I know what's happening at the moment. I know where I am. But you can still do better. You can still do greater. You still have more for me. What I have at the moment isn't it. It lies further down the path. There is more. Your plan didn't end years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever. That plan is still there. There's more challenges. There's more to possess. There is more than we have now. Tim Hughes wrote a song called Pocket Full of Faith. It says these words, I don't want to get there at the end of it all, looking behind me to see there was so much more. Can you imagine being in that situation where you get to glory and God says, yeah, well done, my good and faithful servant, but you missed out on this. And what about that that you could have done? And you never saw that. I could have taken you on to so much more. So much more to possess, so much more to gain, so much more to enjoy, so much more to be revealed. And we waste if we settle for what we have now. Settlers haven't lost their salvation. Settlers have lost the excitement. We need to pray for that glimpse of more. We need to be praying to be stretched, praying to be excited. Could you pop the last slide on for me, please? You switch. You come to our website and we can save you money. I'm sure that the energy provider that you've got is cheating you out of so much. You could have so much more. And the challenge for you this morning, it's all right, Julie, you can leave it, is will you switch from settler to seeker? Would you take God at his word? Will you give him opportunity to work in you? Could you put it onto black, please, Julie? And understand that he has so much more. Will you be like Enoch, who used to walk with God until it got to the stage where God said to him, actually, what I want to show you next, you've got to come over to my place. There is no end. There is no end. And even in glory, how much has God got to show us? The challenge to us this morning is don't be a settler. Be a seeker, be a searcher, because there is so much more. Don't stop where you've arrived at, because there's something beyond that horizon. God has more to be revealed for each one of us. Will you pull up sticks and get on the trail? Because if you do, you will find that God is there waiting to guide you to be your vision into glory. Amen.